Good, good. Well, let's go ahead and get into this morning's message. Really want to talk about faith and moving forward. And I think that's what God's calling us to do. God's challenged us to do. And I think the prayer is part of that. So absolutely, Cheryl, thank you for the invitation, because our prayer is at 9:30 in the mornings here. And it's just whoever, whenever, you know, you can join. That's wonderful. And it is a time of hearing God. So there's also one of those things where if you feel like you're not somebody who hears a lot from God, put that aside, okay? Put that aside, because that's also a place to learn and grow when you're praying with others. And there's kind of like a teaching of how to pray and just also to be quiet, okay? Just to be quiet and to hear God and to attune our ears to Him. You know, we don't always hear God all the time, right? You know, we sometimes... we'll get one thing. Sometimes we'll see something in our mind's eye, and sometimes we have to dig further. Sometimes God gives us something, and we're like, well, what is that, Lord? Don't even understand it. You know, I shared Cheryl's dream, one of her prophetic dreams last week, and sometimes, you know, it's kind of funny. Cheryl, in her dream, was asking God, what does this mean, you know? But that's what we do in reality. Sometimes God gives us something, and we're like, well, Lord, I don't really fully understand this. Can you... And the Lord's like, yes, He will. And sometimes He'll, even if it's not verbal, He'll give you an experience. And sometimes you have to pay attention, because sometimes it's the very experience that He gives you that's going to relate with your question and say, oh, now I get it. It's just like God's Word. Sometimes God's Word, we don't fully understand. There's things in God's Word. But then sometimes, Lord, can you teach me? Holy Spirit, can you show me? And then sometimes, you know, He answers in different ways, but sometimes He'll give us the experience of something that relates to the Word of God. And then sometimes it's just good to be a good student at that point. Make notes, write in a journal, say, wait a minute, I really believe God's saying this. He's giving me revelation through something, my experience, or something He's showing me. And oftentimes that's how God works. He works in different ways, but... we just have to pay attention to what He's doing and what He's speaking. Well, this morning, I want us to pay attention to sometimes those points where we're called to make decisions. Now, this is going to be about faith, but every one of us have to make important decisions in life. Every one of us. There's not anybody here that doesn't have to make important decisions, right, of various kinds. And whether, you know, that this could be about taking jobs, maybe it's a new job, maybe it's praying for a job. Mac shared with me this morning that he was praying for a new job, and God revealed something to him within minutes and showed him that, oh yeah, that makes absolute sense in what I'm going to do. I'm going after that one. And so we'll hopefully hear a testimony of that next job. But there's decisions we have to make. And there's things that you may have, maybe it's a big move. A move that you have to make, or you're thinking about, or it's literally moving cities. Maybe, who knows, maybe it's going to take care of your parents, or you have to think about, do I need to move jobs, move cities, move places, uproot myself? What about marriage? You know, that's a big decision, right? Do I marry this person? Hopefully we pray, right? As Christians, we pray, Lord, what do you say about this person? But we try to base our decisions on the best evidence that we have, the best evidence and the best advice that we can get from good counsel, right? We don't want bad counsel. We want good counsel. But at some point, whether we pray, whether we try to get all the advice, all the evidence that we can get, there's a decision to be made. And we either have to move forward with that, or we need to say no. I don't feel like that's the right pathway. Now, it's also funny, there are challenges that we have in life too. There's moments and challenges, I think, that are always interesting for all of us, and they're different for everybody. I kind of thought about my challenge when I was a kid was the high dive. Have you ever been on the high dive? Right?
Yeah.
Now, in my city, you know, we were in a university town, and the university had a high dive for competition. And I wasn't doing anything with competition, but since we could go to the pool, it was kind of fun to go to the deep end pool that had the big high dive. And I saw people do that, and I was like, I'm going to do that, you know? So here I'm a kid, and I'm like, I'm going to go to the high dive. I'm going to get in the high dive. And you know, it looked doable. It really did. And so I saw people do it, right? You see people do it, so it looks doable. And then you go up there. And then you look down, and you're like, oh, my. You know, I do have a certain aversion to heights. I don't really like them very much. But it looked a lot higher from there than it did when I was below, like a lot higher. And I said, you know what? So, you know, you go out to the edge, and then you come back. Because, of course, you make the excuse that somebody's waiting in line. Of course, they're still climbing the ladder. But you know, you let the other person go first, right? Because you're being polite. But then you ultimately, you know, you kind of get the courage at some point in time. You say, you know what? I'm going to do this or I'm not. You know, I don't know. I could talk to people and say, well, you know, what was that like when you hit the water? You know, how deep did you go? You know, whatever. You can try to get all the evidence, all the advice, all the things that you could possibly want to get. But at some point in time, it's either yes or no. I'm going or I'm going to climb back another ladder. So I jumped. I took the plunge. And you know what? It wasn't nearly as bad as I thought it could be, right? You know, you go deep. You have to kind of swim your way back up because, you know, you go deeper than normal. But you overcome the fear. And you overcome the flesh that says, no. But you're like, I've got to do this challenge. I got to do this. Now, I am in no way advocating jumping from heights. I will not be bungee jumping. That's a no for me. Maybe that's a yes for you. But it's a no for me. You know, and I was, you know, I can't pick Allison's. We found out that she likes to jump out of planes. And I'm like, I hope you pray before you do. But not me. I don't need to pray about that one. I'm just not, right? Well, that's me. I'm not a big fan of heights. But, you know, in our Christian walk, we can have similar experiences where we come to something and there's got to be a yes or a no. God always is calls us to something more. You know, he calls us. He calls us to the faith. He calls us to believe in him, to trust in him. And even in our Christian walk, there's more. And there's decisions that we make, and there's pathways that God calls us to, and sometimes we're called to leave the old behind, old ways, old things, and we're to take on the new. There's new things that God wants us to do or to enter into. It could be various things. For instance, it could be the first time that God calls you on a mission trip. Never done that, never been there, never left the country, never went and slept in the open, whatever it is, it might be, you know, the challenges of maybe the first mission trip. But you know, if you did that when God called you and said, I want you to go, I want you to have faith and believe that this is going to be exactly what I want for you right now. It could be also maybe the first time you ever witnessed to somebody. Maybe you're somebody who doesn't like to step out and, you know, just stop people and share Christ. I mean, that's not easy for you. Maybe you're not a people person. But you can remember the first time that God was maybe stirring in you. It's like, I need to share Christ with this person. And there was a stepping out or there was a shrinking back. And maybe the first time you didn't. Maybe the first time you felt inside you didn't. But then you came to learn that it's okay. I can follow God and I can do this. And God will use this for what he wants. Maybe it's praying. In this church, we lay hands on people, we pray, right? And God moves. When was the first time that you felt called to pray? Where God was saying, you know, I want you to pray for that person. You've watched other people. I want you to lay hands on that person and pray for them. And believe that God can use your prayers to touch that person in the way they need to be touched. there was a moment of belief. There was a moment of trust to say, okay, Lord, I will. I'll go forward with you. I won't go back. There is that moment where we're called to step forward. Sometimes it's physical. Sometimes it's a physical going and a physical doing that oftentimes is involved. But more importantly, it's on the inside of us. It's on the inside of us that says, yes, Lord, I trust you. I will do this thing in obedience, even though I don't always know. I don't know how it's going to go. I don't know what's going to happen, because we don't often know, do we? But you give, no matter what the battle is on the side, you give God your yes, no matter what your flesh is even resisting you on, because it does. Our flesh will resist us to saying yes to God. The Christian life has these moments. If you're a praying Christian, if you read God's word, if you have a relationship with God at all, you will have these moments where God will speak to you and invite you into the new. And it literally could be you just reading the word of God, having time where you feel like it's not just information, but it's a rhema word for you that you need to transact in your own life. That it's time for you to believe that it's about me, that this word has everything to do with me and my life and how I'm living and how I'm following God. Because God will invite you into the next steps with him. Doesn't matter how young or how old you are. And I should say, in the Lord, how young or how old you are. There's always the next step. But most importantly, it always requires faith. Faith is a part of it. There's just no way around it. I want to come out of the text of Hebrews 11, 8 through 19. We probably recognize Hebrews 11 as the faith chapter, or the hall of faith, we could say. I'm just going to take a portion, just a small portion of it, and we're going to talk about Abraham, a man of faith. Let's pick up in verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Pick up in verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. So Abraham had to live a life of faith. I'm sure there was a lot of times when he could have shrunk back, and there was certainly times where he made mistakes along the way. God did not choose Abraham because he was perfect. In fact, God knew his every flaw. He even knew that he would make up a lie about his wife and say it was his sister on several occasions to protect his life, because he was afraid, because she was beautiful, that the king of the place that they were dwelling in would take his wife and kill him. So he took things in his own hands. Of course, God had to save him and the promise on several occasions. So we see that Abraham is far from perfect. He does things out of his own flesh, In fact, we know that they tried to even to take hold of the promise and have the promise according to the flesh. Remember Ishmael? Well, Ishmael was people trying to do things that God told you to do, but doing it in your own accord, according to your own reasoning, and your own manner, in your own way. God said he would give Sarah and Abraham a son, but of course they reasoned and thought, well, I'm too old, she's too old, this is silly, what are we doing? This is not going to happen. Not with man, not with human flesh, but only with God. So we see that Abraham had his Ishmaels. But still, Abraham is someone who exemplifies faith. Because even through it all, he saw God over and over save the promise and save him and his wife and bring them to a place where their trust and their obedience was greater. I mean, we know that God had to put faith in Abraham to begin with because he left his home, area, and traveled many miles away from family, from what he knew, to come to a promised land, an unknown place, a place of strangers. And of course, he felt insecure at times. He wouldn't have told the lie about his wife if he didn't feel insecure at times, being in a foreign land and a foreign place that God had called him. But he was learning what it was to trust in God, to believe, to have this conviction, inward conviction, that God would bring the promise to pass. And I really believe, even looking at his last test, when God called him to go to Mount Moriah, to go up and to take Isaac with him, just Isaac and him, to build an altar and to place Isaac on the altar to sacrifice him. Now, of course, Abraham, this didn't make sense to him because Isaac was the promise. He was the one that was promised, and now he's here with me. Why would I give him up? But he could only do that because he had come to a place of being so convinced that God would bring forth his promise that he could put even Isaac, even believing that God would bring him back from the dead. I don't think Abraham, when he first left his home and traveled to the promised land, had that kind of faith. But it was only through journeying with God over years and years and years and seeing God, that a God that was faithful and a God that made covenant with him, that he believed that God would see it through. But God knew at that time that he had a man full of faith, full of belief, a man who was fully consecrated to him and would not turn back. If we look at the word for faith, in Greek it's pistis, and in the Strong's Concordance, it speaks this way. Faith is always a gift from God and never something that we can produce, that people can produce. In short, pistis, faith, for the believer, is God's divine persuasion. And therefore, distinct from human belief, confidence, yet it involves it. The Lord continually births faith in the yielded believer so they can know what he prefers, i.e., the persuasion of the will. So God's divine persuasion. Are you persuaded today that Jesus is Lord? That he's King of Kings, Lord of Lords? He's the Messiah? He's the one? He's the anointed one? Are you fully persuaded? Do you trust in your heart? When God calls you forward for the new, for the next, are you fully persuaded that he is able to do in you what you cannot do? Abraham was divinely persuaded by God. His belief was very important, what he believed and how he believed. Yet it was God who birthed something in Abraham's heart. Even from the beginning, even for him to leave his home, there was something in him that God gifted in him, faith. And I think all of us, we can say we all have a God-given faith. I really believe we can't even accept Christ without God's urging in our hearts, without what he puts in us to respond to him. even the very small seed of faith. But it's that stirring in us that we respond to and says, God, I believe. And we have a belief that, Lord, you're doing, you're saying, you're asking. It stirs something in us. Abraham was able to move forward with God through obedience. And his obedience was very important. Our obedience is very important. There's always that moment when we say yes. We can shrink back, but that's not faith. That's not faith. We're called to move forward with God. I don't know if you remember when you got saved. Do you remember your time of your salvation? I do remember mine because I was a teenager, and it was on a youth retreat. And it was an evangelical youth retreat, meaning they did give altar calls. And I grew up in the church, and I didn't not believe in God. I did. But there was something that it was for me to respond to God's calling. And I do remember the worship service, and I do remember they gave an altar call. And I remember a stirring of the Spirit in me. I wanted to go. But I was also shy. And there was thousands of people there. There was a lot of people there. But I felt that stirring within me. And I had a choice. Lord, do I stay here because I'm shy and I don't want to be before people, lots of people? Or am I going to respond to this stirring in me? Well, I praise God, I responded. I got up and I went forward. And they prayed for all those who came. And I did feel the presence of God. I did feel that he was with me. But it was very important that I responded. You know, Jesus says that we're to confess him before others. We're to confess Jesus as Lord before others. Because in some ways, it's really not real until we declare that Jesus is our Lord publicly. That's what baptism is, right? Baptism is a public declaration that I belong to Jesus, that he's my Lord. And it's very important that we respond. Faith grows. It grows if we'll allow it to grow in us. We start with a little bit of faith. But with that little bit of faith that God gives us, God can work and move and do amazing things. I also remember a time when I was really my college years. I was a freshman in college, and I didn't really have a good freshman year. I didn't enjoy my time that much at college. It was kind of rough. It was kind of lonely because I was a Christian, and I was trying to find Christian fellowship on the campus, and I was really having a hard time doing that. And so I kind of had to feel like a lonely Christian walk my freshman year of college. And I came home for the summer, and I got a job. I worked, tried to save up money, that kind of thing that a lot of freshmen in college do. Just a regular old labor job. I was detailing cars. It was actually a pretty hot and sweaty job. And apparently I wasn't that, I mean, I was okay at it, but I couldn't keep the quota because you had to work. And there was grown men doing this, and that was their career, and they were outpacing me. And I was like, yeah, you guys really know what you're doing. But apparently I wasn't keeping fast enough, wasn't going fast enough, and I lost that job, right? They said, okay, you know, the boss is putting pressure on us that we have to spit out this many cars, and we're not doing it. You're not doing it fast enough. So that's what I was told. So that job ended towards the end of the summer, and I was not displeased, actually. It was by no means my favorite job. I didn't know how to detail a car, though, even with a toothbrush. Anyway, so, but I remember after that, you know, I was at church, and I saw the youth pastor, and I'd been in the youth, so I knew the youth pastor, but I was no longer in the youth. But he saw me, and I feel like the Lord put it on his heart to ask me to go on a mission trip. That was within weeks. It was just coming around the corner. And actually somebody, I don't know, I think maybe several people had dropped out. They were raising money for the mission trip. They had dropped out. They couldn't go. And he felt led to ask me and another person, one of my friends as well. So when he asked me, something stirred within me. I said, you know what? It was a mission trip to Jamaica, and we were going to help the church do VBS and do some building on their church and that kind of thing. And I felt like I wanted to say yes. I didn't know all about it, but I went ahead and I finished the fundraising. I went, and it really made all the difference. Because for me, at that point, you know, my Christian walk wasn't going so well. But this revitalized my Christian walk. And I felt like it was important for me to say yes and to go. And God met me there. And I made important relationships. In fact, important relationships that ended up helping me transfer my school, where I was going, and just kept me in better Christian fellowship, the kind of Christian fellowship that I didn't have my freshman year. The Lord had a purpose in that, and there was a reason why he wanted to stir that in me, but it was important that I said yes. I say that because my friend who I did hang out with that summer, he said no. He had no stirring whatsoever in his heart to go. I wish he had, but he decided not to. So I know sometimes there's that stirring that God puts in our hearts. It's just important for us to respond. There's a choice always to go forward with God. Sometimes even, like I say, when you pray or you spend time in the Word, pay attention. Pay attention to what God is stirring in you. Write it down. Because it may really be something that you need to ask, God, how do I respond to this? In what way do I need to respond to this? Sometimes we know we're praying and we're spending time with the Lord and God will put somebody in our hearts. And it's important for us to pray for that person, but maybe also important for us to call that person. Maybe it's important for us to write a note to that person. Maybe it's important to go visit that person because maybe there's something that God wants us to do, even more than just lifting him up in prayer. Sometimes we have to ask, God, is there something more you want me to do here? And what I've come to learn is more and more that's that faith, that's responding to God as God's speaking to us. Sometimes it's not always so clear, and sometimes we have to dig further to see what God is up to. Now, Oral Roberts, who knows the name Oral Roberts here? So if this is something most people in the room, I don't know what you know about Oral Roberts, but he's considered to be an evangelical faith evangelist who is also a faith healer, who now has passed away, but spent many, many years traveling the world, having tent revivals, and of course, at the same time preaching salvation, he would also pray for people for healing. He actually was healed himself. When he was 17, he had deadly tuberculosis, and this is back in the 1930s when they didn't have the medicine that they have today. And sometimes, yes, it did turn deadly. And the doctors were not giving him much hope. He was bedridden at one point in time. And they just prayed. They prayed for his life. His dad prayed for his salvation because he said he didn't have much need for God. He was a preacher's kid, by the way. But he didn't care too much for religion. And he didn't want to do that. He wanted to be a lawyer. That's what he wanted to be. But, he didn't really feel any stirring for God. His parents prayed. His family prayed. His dad prayed fervent prayers for him. And it was his sister who felt led to take him to a revival service that was happening nearby where the evangelist was praying for healing. And so, in short, they got him up, they put him in a wheelchair, they took him to the healing revival, and he was healed at that revival. Now, before that, he had actually said some things to God because the prayers of others had stirred in him to pray for himself. And he actually got to a point that says, Lord God, if you would heal me, I'll serve you. He had got to that point where it was stirred in him to pray those prayers. And sometimes it takes faith to pray a prayer, to pray a certain type of prayer. It takes faith that God stirs it in us. But he prayed that prayer, and God did heal him. And as he was going to the service, he heard God's word speak to him. He heard God speak to him and saying, I'm going to heal you, and I'm going to put healing power in you that you are to take to your generation. God gave him at 17 a word spoken to him that he was to do and he was to be about. And he received that word. He understood God had called him to healing. He was miraculously healed. He saw it firsthand. Oftentimes, I find many people who operate in this way or have received their own miraculous healing. But he says that it was 12 years before he saw a healing. He did go into ministry. He did start preaching. He took some churches. And he always wondered and prayed, well, Lord, I know you said this to me, but how, when, where? I mean, he didn't know. And sometimes we are like that. We don't know. And it was 12 years before he saw his first breakthrough. A man in his church dropped an engine on his foot and was in screaming, terrible pain. They called the doctor and called the pastor. And he came. I guess he got there first. But he said it was just something that stirred within him. It wasn't something he had to think about. He just kneeled down and prayed a simple prayer. God healed this man. And that was it. And he straightened back up. And the man really miraculously stopped and said, what did you do to me? Because the pain was gone. They took off his shoe. His foot was healed. And I think somebody said to him, well, what did you do, Oral? I says, I don't know. I didn't do anything. But says, well, if you know how to do that, you can bring healing to our generation. And what it did, it sparked in him the faith to go after this in a way he had not gone after this. You know, he prayed, he had wondered, but this time he said, Lord, I see that you're a healing God. I see that this is what you want to do. You're speaking this clearly to me. I don't know how, but then he went on a fast and he fasted and prayed, and he got before the Lord, and he said he spent hours alone with the Lord until the Lord spoke to him and spoke to him. And literally he said, God said, get up, go, and gave him direction to drive out. And then as he was driving, the Lord spoke to him. He says, now, from now on, I'm going to put my healing power in your ministry. He was preaching. He was already preaching and teaching, but he saw that now he was to preach, to teach, and to heal. And that's where his ministry really began, as God brought that forth. But 12 years. 12 years to see a fulfillment of a promise that God has spoken. Paul didn't preach right away. Paul didn't preach the gospel right away. He actually went to the desert, right? He spent time with the Lord, knowing God more intimately and knowing his identity for what he was to do and what he was to be. It's not unusual where years pass between promise and fulfillment. Something God speaks and the fulfillment of it. Sometimes it's 5 minutes. Sometimes it's years. And sometimes faith needs to stir in us to press more into what we need to see. God, we don't know how. We don't know. You have a promise. We don't know how it's going to come to pass. How many years was it before Abraham to see the promise of Isaac? And instead of getting into fleshly ways of doing things and creating Ishmaels, we have to press in more to God and say, God, how do you want to bring this to pass? A fulfillment of the promise of what you're saying. But I do know that it does require us to step with God, to step forward with him. James reminds us, chapter 2, verse 21 through 24. It says, don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened, just as the scripture says, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. So you see, We are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. I really believe that passage can be summed up to say faith is completed with action. There's a doing, there's a responding to God. When God stirs something in us, we can't just stay. Abraham couldn't just stay in his homeland. If he heard God, it was important that he went with God. That faith wasn't complete until he stepped forward with God. It's important because we can receive revelation, we can hear God, but there is that stepping forward with God and saying, okay, Lord, I don't know how, I don't know in what way, but I'm going to go with you. I'm going to step forward with you. I'm going to jump off the diving board. I'm going to do what you've called me to do. And sometimes we need to pray, Lord, show me where to step. And I really believe the Lord will show us how to step. And then he'll show us another step. And he'll show us how to even live in a land amongst strangers. But yet he will give us space, Rehoboth, space to dwell and to prosper and to multiply. We don't need to be disheartened. And Christians can, we can sometimes be disheartened when we don't see fulfillment happen of some promises of things that we feel like God has spoken to us. But don't lose heart. Don't lose heart, because God still, if he promised it, he wants to fulfill it. But don't shrink back. And if God is telling you to take steps, then step into it. Sometimes it's like stepping on ice. You have to get your footing and fill it out. But when you have a firm footing, you can make your way forward. And sometimes it's being sensitive to God in that way. You may not be able to run, but you can certainly learn to walk. What action does God want you to take today? How are you to step out in faith? Are your ears listening to God? When you spend time with God, do you put prayers before him and saying, Lord, I'm willing to go. What are you saying? I'm willing to do. I'm willing to be used of you. How so? And maybe it's just that phone call that you need to make. Maybe it's that letter that you need to write. I remember even writing a letter to my parents. I felt God stir my spirit to write a letter to my parents years ago to bless them for how they parented me. My parents weren't perfect. I wasn't perfect. But they did a lot of things right. And I felt God stir in me. And I've come to understand that it's important to respond, because there's faith there. There's faith there. If God says, then let me do that. And what I found out later is when I gave them that letter, it blessed them, actually. They told me they came to tears, because it was something that they needed to hear. There was something that God needed to speak to them. Because I think they doubted how they, did they do right by us? Did they raise us in the way that they needed to raise us? But I think God spoke through that and ministered to them. You never know what God will do. But there is that responding in what God is stirring in you that's so important, that makes faith complete. I'm going to end with a story about the great Houdini. Who knows about the great Houdini? I don't know. This is an old story. I don't even know if this is fully true, but he did things like this. It was about the great Houdini, and he was doing his greatest feats, his latest feats, and he was doing a high wire act over a canyon. Okay, I know. Literally, nothing below, no nets, just a great fall. And so, as the great Houdini did, he got and he walked across the canyon and back on the high wire. And the crowd that came to see him all applauded, because they came out. They They wanted to see what the great Houdini would do this time. And so they all applauded the great Houdini. And they were excited about his next feat. Well, his next feat, he got the little unicycle out, and he went out. He went up across the canyon and back. And the crowd, they actually clapped louder, because that was even a greater feat to do it on a unicycle. And then he got the next act was he got a wheelbarrow out. He got a wheelbarrow out, and he put some stones in it, and he took that wheelbarrow, and he went across. And I don't know how he turned around, but he turned around, and he brought it back. Or maybe he just backed up. I don't know. But the great Houdini did it, and that just sent the crowd crazy. They just were frantic with their clapping and their shouting, and it's like, you are amazing. You're the great Houdini. You can do anything. You are so amazing. And they were just totally enthralled with the great Houdini. And then the great Houdini said, now, for my last and greatest feat, I am going to take this wheelbarrow, but I am going to take someone in this wheelbarrow across the canyon and back. Who believes that I can do this great feat? And of course, the crowd went wild. The crowd was crazy. They saw what he could do, and they went, and they clapped, and they shouted, and says, yes, you're the great Houdini. You can do it. You can do anything. Now, who will be my first volunteer? And the crowd went silent. You couldn't hear a stone drop or anything else. Not a hand was raised. See, the great Houdini can do it. But sometimes it's us who fear. We don't mind if somebody else gets in the wheelbarrow. But if it's us, that's quite another different matter altogether. Now, God may not be calling us to go on the high wire, but he is calling us, every one of us. He has that next step. He has that next thing. And how we respond to him kind of decides if faith is growing in us or we're diminishing what God can do and what he will do and what he says he will do. So let us believe and trust and be fully persuaded by God this morning.